You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Canopy Group is an insurance agency that is unique by offering 16 carefully selected companies for home and auto insurance. Listen, this is the holiday season. Would you be satisfied if the only dessert you could have this year was fruitcake made by one person's fruitcake? Boy, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? That's like having one agent representing one company as your insurance option. Meanwhile, your neighbor creates an exchange with 40 family members. They have a variety of desserts, fudge, cutouts, gingerbread, all that good stuff. The Canopy Group knows it is all about options. That's why their insurance agency offers these 16 companies. They have 40 licensed agents working behind the scenes to ensure you always have the best coverage at the best price. Remember, Canopy clients' average savings annually is over $800. This holiday season, don't get stuck with the fruitcake. Get options with the Canopy Group. 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
Oh, it's fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick Royce, I have but one question. What does it say when you're able to lose to the Detroit Lions? Because we've talked for years about the Vikings coaches having busts built to them because Mike Tice came out on Twitter and actually said, how did they lose? Even I beat the Lions.
Yes, never lost to them. 8-0. 8-0. Chili was 8-1. 16-1.
Wow.
Between them. I'll say one thing. We had the back end of that end zone protected beautifully on that last play, don't you think? That
was darn right. There's
no chance you could complete a pass in the back two or three or four yards of that end zone.
Mm-mm.
Where was Cameron Dantzler going? That's what I want to know.
I think Zim has got the same question.
Where was he going? And how about Zim's quote about, well, he had the fade coverage, but if the guy's not fading, then you don't have to cover him, right?
Right.
You don't have to run over there if the guy stopped.
Right.
Right? And, but it sounds like Xavier Woods maybe was supposed to be coming up and helping. But Zim said, well, I don't know who was supposed to have it. If you don't know who was supposed to have that coverage, who does?
I'm not buying he doesn't know.
No, he knows.
I think he was desperately trying not to go off.
But the old Zim... See, the softer, lovable Zim who doesn't want the players to hate him because they think he might help him save his job. I missed the old Zim yesterday because he would have leveled them by name.
Oh, yeah.
He would have named them yesterday, and he kept it vague.
Mm-hmm.
And Zim, I got news for you. You might as well go direct now because it's over.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my contention, if they weren't playing Thursday, he's gone today.
Oh, you think so?
Short week.
Okay.
Short week. Soon.
Yeah, yeah.
If they lose Thursday to Pittsburgh, and I don't think they will because they don't do that. They go to the brink. They go to the brink, then they come back, then they go to the brink again. But if he loses Thursday, I bet he's done.
That'd be interesting. I don't think I'd bother at this point.
I don't think you would, but if you're Spielman, you want to get rid of him, and then you can go to Ziggy and the fellas, and if you let it go to the end of the season, there's a hell of a lot better chance it's going to be a package deal if you're Spielman.
If I'm the Wilfs and Rick comes to me and says, hey, if we lose on Thursday, let's fire Mike on Friday, okay. I tell Rick, let's wait till the end.
Yeah, yes.
Because I'm going to fire both of them.
But it would be a strategy for Spielman,
yes,
to try to get rid of him,
yeah,
next Friday if they lose, because I don't think these two could. Nobody's joined at the hip with Spielman when it comes to job security. Spielman is a survivor, and I think he will. If it gets to the end of the year, you got to and you try to hire a highfalutin coach, he might say, well, I want you to do the whole deal here. I want to have more influence or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't. But if they hire a coach, it'll be a 38-year-old. It'll be the guy at Dallas or somebody, right? Kellen Moore or somebody like that. Yeah.
I've blown both out at this point.
I think I would, not right now, but
I'd wait till we're done, and then I'd blow them both out.
And I think now the situation is if they limp into the playoffs, because they might get their 8-9 in this division.
With a 7 seed.
If they limp into the playoffs, if they don't win a game, they got to win a game. I mean, they're in addition to getting there, they have to win a game, I think, before I would consider keeping them. So, you know, he had a good run. I mean, he had a long run, decent. But,
yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. And both of them have done well. Not great, but well.
Spielman has been, I mean, he was by 2000, when did he? He didn't become officially the GM till 12, but he was actually the GM in 11, right?
Yep,
once Chile left, he was in charge.
Correct.
So he's, you know, he's had 11 years. Mm-hmm. You know? So, I would blow him up. That's true.
I'd say thank you very much.
I bet they're not.
Appreciate
as,
what you've done.
I bet they're not as confident though, the Wolves, in hiring a new new vice president of football as they are just hiring a new coach, because this is considering their track record when they first started, this has been quite a degree of patience displayed by them, but they got to be miffed about this operation.
Yes, absolutely.
What? That whole, Judd, in your many years of covering the Vikings, the way they defended that last drive in this game is one of the great mysteries of all time. What were they doing?
And
what you got a terrible offensive line, and you've been putting pressure on this guy, and if you give him any pressure, he's going to screw up. What are you doing?
Zimmer said that he didn't trust his coverage if he blitzed, but the only way to win was to blitz.
Yes, and
so I agree.
He didn't trust his coverage, but you know. You can't trust your – if you give a quarterback time, and even if there's six guys back there in the secondary, if you give a quarterback time, you can't trust it either. I don't know.
You know what, Pat? Sometimes coaches lose a fastball. I think he's lost his fastball.
Yeah, I heard you on YouTube yesterday.
I just think he's lost his fastball. I really do.
Yeah, I think he's distracted. I don't know what it is. He's got other things in his life.
I don't know what he could have going on. He's an older guy.
Because he's not being Zim.
No, he's not.
He's
at all.
Not being Zim.
No,
he's lost the fire.
No, he's
I
not.
I think
being
it's
him.
There. It's he has been a different guy on the sidelines. He looks confused.
Yep.
And much less on top of it than he usually is. And he looks like a depressed guy.
Do you know what concerned me in the game on Sunday? He didn't look pissed. He looked sort of bewildered, but he didn't have the red face going that he used to have. He didn't look mad. He looked just like, I don't know exactly what's going on here.
Well, at least we know this. When the if they had a Lady Bing trophy in football, we'd have to give it to Kirk. Did you ever see a guy happier for a no-win team winning a game out there?
To Detroit.
He's out there congratulating everybody he can get his hands on. What a great what a great display of sportsmanship.
My idea, the next quarterback, because Goff's terrible, the next quarterback of the Detroit Lions, Kirk goes home.
They might take him.
Kirk, but would he not be the ideal Lions QB?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he would. He would. Once in a while, he might win some games. Yeah.
Do you think they wouldn't take seven wins?
And, you know, the teams he lost to would like him because he'd come over and congratulate them. Yeah, just really.
Hard fought?
Really a sportsman yesterday. Instead of trying to hide behind the other guys and slinking off the field like he should have, he shouldn't have been racing out to congratulate various Lions.
Brady runs off after defeats as quickly as he can because he's so ticked off. Kirk wants to come over and give everyone a hug.
Yeah. Look like
look like we used to look at beer parties at the pasture in Prior Lake 60 years ago. You know, hey, what the hell? Come here. You know, good to see you. What the hell was that?
I saw it, yeah.
What was that? Man alive. I couldn't believe it was. You know what? I couldn't believe you're ahead 20-6. And you do everything you can to lose. You just go into we got to lose mode. And then the guys on TV, when they went for it on 4th and 1, that was a stupid play, yeah, are saying, boy, I wouldn't go for it here. Why not? You're 0-10-1. Why not go for it?
Because Jared Goff's your quarterback. Yes. And then they tried to pass. That was my favorite
thing.
Why
didn't they run the ball?
Because they went for it on 4th down early, and they ran right in the middle of the line. Yeah. Or no, Goff tried to sneak it through, but then he was.
Here's what's amazing about losing this game. The Lions didn't have their running back.
Yeah.
Swift, who's been good.
DeAndre Swift.
They got
out.
Some guy, you know.
Former Packer.
Third.
Jamal Williams.
That's him. Okay.
Yeah, that's the former Packer backer.
God almighty.
Oh, they're terrible.
The coach is just a dummy. He's over there calling plays. He don't know what the hell he's doing, you know. Did they fire Anthony Lynn or demote him?
I think they just took the play calling away from him, though.
Well, if I have the play.
I'd quit.
If I'm a former NFL coach, which means I have some money, right?
Right. Yeah, I'd quit.
I would say, you are going to call the plays.
I'm out of here.
Why don't you go back to cheerleading and telling us we're going to eat bad conversations for breakfast? Or do I get my BSers mixed up here? That's I don't know.
But Dan Campbell trying to manage the clock might be one of my favorite things to watch.
Wow,
he's calling time. You have no idea.
What? And once in a while, I thought you had a 10-second runoff when you had a penalty when they had the too much time down there at the. You know, they got once again. Oh. They didn't get a playoff. They didn't. You know, that's. Twice they've done
it. Yeah,
that.
I don't know what the exact rule
is. A couple weeks ago, I was watching them, and they did that at the end of the game, and that one cost them. That's when he tried to call a second timeout.
Yes.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving Day.
And then he had a 10-second.
Which is what Zim did, too.
Yes.
That was a battle of two guys that don't know the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them tried to call consecutive timeouts, which my favorite part is the referees are supposed to ignore, but in both cases, they just threw a penalty flag.
Well, and I saw that again. With an assistant, was that another Thursday night game? But the guy was so insistent that the ref tried to ignore him, but he was
and
he finally said, okay, time out. And then they called the penalty. Unreal. But I said this on Twitter. I looked at Gesslein's Gamer today. Like early this morning, or maybe late last night, and it had 721 comments. And I don't know how the business was on Ventline yesterday.
Very good.
But there is nothing better for the sports media business than embarrassing defeat by the local NFL team. Not if they're terrible, though. That wouldn't be the case with the Lions, you know.
Right. No, I got
you. You have to be continuing to have a modicum of hope.
Yes.
And then have your embarrassing defeat when that's happened. I mean, Cameron Dantzler, the local media, all thanks you for the response that we were able to get here. You know, Gesslein says he's usually got a couple hundred, 250 comments. But a Lions victory probably would have gotten 100. For a win.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that would have been boring.
Yeah, there's probably going to be 1,000 before it's over. It's great.
Oh.
And Ventline is, now after you beat the Packers, you get a big reaction, right?
Yeah, but I believe Phil said that our two top episodes of the season, number one was the Cooper Rush loss, number two was the Lions loss.
Lions loss.
Because to your point, the key is going to the brink.
Yes. And then
coming back.
Going
to the rink.
Now you need a win.
Yes.
You need a win Thursday.
We don't want all hope to be lost.
Yes. No. You want the hope to still be there, because if they get to 5-8, it ain't looking good.
A first round playoff game in which you have a narrow, tough defeat would be really interesting.
But it would have to be accompanied by a blunder, the defeat. It's always best when you don't want to see them play It's not great when they play their hearts out in a narrow defeat as underdogs, right? It's got to be.
When Cam Dantzler.
It's got to be, we can't lose this game. Defeat. That's when it's the greatest. They are, God, oh my. Yeah. Hey, I had one of my, somebody texted me Sunday morning, you know, people getting, he was at the grocery store, at a grocery store. And the woman in front of him had a Sharper 42 jersey on. And he said, should I tell her?
Oh, no.
And I said, people that wear jerseys on a non-game day, just stay away from them. Don't say anything.
Yep.
They could already be getting, they could have started getting tuned up last night.
So, they're a different breed.
Yes, so don't mess with them. But I think somewhere on the home front, somebody's got to tell this lady that she might want to get a new jersey.
I was going to say, just pivot to a different jersey.
Yes, yeah, wear a jersey. And I'm sure she's not doing it because she supports serial rapists. But she probably just not aware that things didn't go well for Darren. So.
Yeah, that's the one jersey that I think I'd stay away from
now. So,
Moss is fine.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Harvin's fine.
Yeah, they're all fine.
Sharper 42 might be a bad look.
Funny, you don't see Harvin jerseys. Millions of Moss jerseys. Were there Harvin jerseys when he was playing great?
There were at the time,
yeah.
Yep.
He was going to be the MVP one year. Then he quit playing.
And then he got mad at Leslie, right?
Got mad because he wanted the ball more often, well, or Leslie wanted him to practice on Wednesdays or something.
He couldn't stand. I think that he got hurt, but he melted down in Seattle too because Ponder just stunk, and he knew it. Which is sort of where Jefferson, I think, is at. But he's just a better kid.
I ran across a tweet on Ponder from 2012 that I retweeted that he had a higher. This was after like three games. He had a higher passer rating. He was third in the league ahead of Brady and Rodgers and Roethlisberger and all these guys. He was that his first year as the QB?
He was drafted in what 11 or 12.
11. He didn't play his first year, right? Or he didn't start his first, or did he start halfway through the year?
Five games in. McNabb was stinking it up in Chicago.
So this would have been his second. He must have been 11. 12 must have been his. Okay. This was early in the season.
Okay.
So. We were hopeful.
We're always hopeful.
For about 20 minutes, right?
God, was he bad. And you know what? Trent Dilfer called it. To this day, when they drafted him, Trent Dilfer, who knows his stuff, ripped it.
Ripped the pick.
Ripped the pick. Said, this is a terrible pick. And I thought, oh, that's a little harsh. 100% right.
It is amazing how good some of these draft forecasts are. You know, some of these guys, like Treadwell, too slow. You know, you read the stuff.
Yep.
Too slow. Can't get a, won't be able to get away from people. You know, all he has is a big catch radius. And we're saying, oh, he's what they need, a good possession receiver.
You're right.
And those people were saying, well, I think if you go back and look at the Troy Williamson stuff, they basically saying he hasn't caught enough balls for us to know if he can play, if he is a receiver or not, because Lou was running wasn't Lou his coach or something?
Yeah, at South Carolina.
He was just running
They saw him at the combine. That's the whole reason why. They just said he's so fast.
Like yeah.
So he's so fast. They didn't ever think, I wonder if he can catch the football.
Yeah.
The damnedest thing.
Well, I think he had like 17 catches or something because they ran Lou's version of the option. So they never threw the ball. So.
But Rick should have put Dilfer on retainer right after he let Ponder go. Because Dilfer called. I mean, that's the type of guy I want to tell me. This guy stinks.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yes, they should have.
Because Rick Spielman cannot find a quarterback.
A great loss to media commentary on football. Dilfer. I don't know what happened with
him. Coach in high school now, right?
Yeah. At a Christian high school.
I think he got let go by ESPN, but
yes,
I thought he'd catch on somewhere else.
When they were cutting back, but I don't think he was ever prominent again. But he was my favorite football guy ever. He was fantastic.
Oh, he was great on your show.
He was. I mean, all you had to do was he came in prepared and he'd teach you football for 15 minutes. It was fantastic. So, but I think he is. He was a he was a very Christian fella, and I think maybe once he got going, but, you know, he never ducked from the fact that he wasn't the main reason his team won the Super Bowl, too.
He was very self-aware of that fact, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
That there was a little defense on that team?
Mm-hmm. But I think I remember him telling me he was a better quarterback than Ponder.
Oh, I'm sure. He hated Ponder.
Yeah.
But he was spot on the entire thing.
The most important thing is to be an accurate thrower.
Uh-huh. You know, yes.
To get the ball out in front of the receiver.
Where he's going to be.
Yes, not where he's going.
Instead of where he's been.
I mean, where he's been, yes. I've always said, I saw Phil Nelson down in Mankato, loved him. Wisconsin was heartbroken that he was not going there because his dad had played there. Never looked at the idea that in high school, your guy's so far, you don't have to throw it in front of anybody. You just got to throw it to him.
Right. Yeah.
And he, you know, when he saw him with the Gophers, he threw it where the guy had been. And he went down to East Carolina and had a good big numbers.
When did that change, Pat? Because there was an era where you could throw it where they'd been and you were fine, right?
Well, I think.
Because these guys now are so pinpoint accurate. It's incredible.
They are,
and the receivers
blessed.
Are great, too.
You are blessed. To me, I've said that. All the big changes in football, nothing has changed more than the number of great catches that these guys will make for you that almost routinely. I mean, we used to Chris Carter used to dazzle us for catching the ball on the sideline. Now they turn around, you know, catch it over their heads when they're running out of bounds. And, I mean, they do fantastic things for the most part. Jefferson is throw it in the general area. Did you see how upset he was when he beat the guy going down the right sideline late in the game and Chris and Kirk threw it out of bounds?
Yes. I don't blame him.
He was going, what the hell is that?
Yeah, because he's that good.
Yeah. Yeah. He had him beat. He was going to run down to the 10-yard line or something. Oh, man, what a loss. Now, I was talking today, and somebody said, this was predictable, to lose the Lions. No, it wasn't. We don't lose to the Lions. We lose to the Bears.
Right.
We don't lose to the Lions.
You're right.
The Lions stink. The Lions are the reason that this has been a successful franchise. You take away the number of wins they are over 500 against the Lions, they're about a 520 winning franchise instead of 550, you know.
Uh-huh.
What's Zim against him? Zim lost. Zim doesn't have a.
Zim lost. Zim got swept in the season series in like.
Yes,
was that
early.
415? Mm-hmm. No. 14?
Who did they fire then? Jim Caldwell?
Yes. Yeah, and Jim Caldwell turned out to be.
He was okay.
Great for them compared to the rest of there.
The crazy defensive coordinator was okay.
Patricia?
Then he went. No, not him. The guy did. Was he the guy Caldwell replaced? What was the defensive guy they had that was younger?
Look.
No.
Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, Schwartz.
Yeah, when Jim Schwartz, Jim Caldwell, Patricia.
Schwartz's problem was he got him to 500 or 9-7 or something.
And Caldwell did too, right?
And then they thought that they should have. Then they thought they were on the way, you know.
They said, we need Tim Brewster.
Yeah, yes, right.
Just like the Gophers did. We need a guy like Tim Brewster.
That's true. Well, that said, very happy day in Minnesota sports yesterday, getting Tony and Cott in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, Rodney was on the committee, but he did not was not able to make the trip to Orlando. COVID concerns, you know, he didn't want to be flying. And so Bert filled in for him because Bert's on that other committee,
really?
The old-timers one. But Bert cast the votes. I think they consulted and they, you know, Bert was basically the guy to, you know, guess. But so, you didn't have to convince Bert to vote for Tony Jim Cott.
So do they meet and discuss who to put in and then vote, or like how does this work?
I think there's presentations made, and
so it's like football
but they're basically most of them show up and. They've had to do their research, right? They've had their list of finalists and stuff, I would say. So it's most they've ever put in, though, four. We have the of all, everybody that went in yesterday. Obviously, the prehistoric guys weren't going to be alive, but we got the only two living
83
twins. They're both 83. Yeah,
yeah,
that's Cott great. Cott was, you know, he was like 20 when he broke in with the Senators in 59, and Bert, you know, Dutchman, just like Bert, you know, Michigan Dutchman, just like Bert, and Bert's fantastic admirer of Jim Cott, and, you know, from being mentored by him when he first came to the big league. So there was no
two guys who hated Calvin.
I'm sure Bert that Cott was just, but Cott had a more humorous view of Calvin than Bert did. Bert saw that there was money to be made in the game. Cott was fighting about $3,000, you know, yet Calvin. I mean, he delights in telling, Bert does not delight in telling you stories about Calvin, you know, because he hated him. But Cott delights in the fact that 65, they go to the World Series, and Calvin offers him a $5,000 cut, saying that, you know, he was 16-13 that year with about 260 innings or something, and saying, yeah, we had a good year, but you didn't have a good year, you know. So he tried to cut him $5,000 and ended up giving him a $5,000 raise. The next year, he's 25-7. I think 24-7, 25-7. If there had been, it was the last year where there weren't two Cy Youngs.
Okay.
I mean, it was the last year of one Cy Young, right, and he lost to Koufax, 66. But he would have won it if not. And Calvin offered him a $5,000 cut, saying it's an individual game. It's not a team game. You know, he said the opposite of what he said the other year. But, you know, back then they're, you know, fighting to get 30 grand. You know,
right. So.
But, yeah, I mean, it's great. Reavers tweeted this out, and he's right. We had him on. I think we had Jim on for 5 years. Could not be stumped. You could not bring up anything in baseball that had occurred, that was occurring, that he didn't have three great stories for, to, and very seldom repeated stories. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, he should be a Ford Frick Award.
That's what I was going to say. I think he's as much or more so.
Yes.
His broadcasting career is
interesting.
Great.
Twist is, and I like it, but it's an interesting twist. Tony is being rewarded for 8 great years, right?
Yes.
Before he got hurt. Yep. And Cott's being rewarded for 24 years of service, you know, being really good for a lot of that and being a horse. But he's high on the starter list all time, even though the last 5-6 years he was a reliever, you know. Remember that, David? The quick pitch reliever. And
83 he retired, right?
Yeah. Well, he popped his elbow in 67. And that last weekend in Boston, he'd been pitching fantastic. The Twins probably would have went to that World Series, but he popped his elbow, and it basically was a ligament. And he said that if it would have been modern times, he would have had Tommy John surgery and missed a year. But he just rehabbed the hell out of it, figured out a different way to pitch. And then later on, when he kind of lost his effectiveness and Calvin let him go here, that's when he became the quick pitcher. He'd get the ball back and be ready to throw. He'd give the guy about 5 seconds in the batter's box.
God bless him for
that. He'd be the guy we'd all love. Yeah.
Interesting.
He quick pitched. Yeah, he was always scheming some way to keep going. Well, he was with the Cardinals in 82, right?
Yes.
Against the Brewers.
Yeah.
In the bullpen. Yeah, he was still
hanging
on. Yeah,
I think he pitched into 83 before he retired.
Unbelievable. Yep.
And Tony, that's fantastic, too.
Yeah.
That's a great.
He was so... I'm sure I haven't talked to him yet. I'm going to give him a call tonight. But he had to be just absolutely, you know, because he was kind of saying publicly that, you know, I'd love to make it, but I got a statue already, and, you know, stuff like that. And He had a great quote with Phil. He said, I'm happy to be alive. I'd rather be alive than in the Hall of Fame. But deep in his heart, he wanted it bad because about a year ago, he said to me, he says, this is my last chance. What can we do? You know, basically was saying, can you,
right.
You know, do you have any, you know, it was like.
You pull some strings, you know, yeah.
But it's great. You got two guys alive. Beat a lot of Minnesotans there.
That's great. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, we'll have a, it's in the end of June. Hopefully they'll have a live one this year so everybody can go, you know.
The two twins I really wish I could have seen play would have been Harmon 1 and Tony 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Harmon when he was at his prime was, you know, that was Tony. What's amazing is the 70 team. Which got swept by the Orioles, who won 108 or 9 that year. They were great, but the Twins were great too. They were, Twins won 99, I think, or 98. But five Hall of Famers now. Burt was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Cott, you know, Harmon, Tony, and Rodney. That's,
yeah.
That's a pretty good team.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That was a hell of a team. And, They got swept both years by the Blylevin wasn't there yet, but they got swept both years. But they, you know, 70, you had Cott, Blylevin, and Jim Perry was the Cy Young Award winner. That was, that was, I mean, you look back at the pitching then now, compared to now, it was better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you didn't have openers, first of all.
You started. Is it 67? I keep bringing up the year that they had eight pitchers who pitched all but 73 innings.
Rocco would not approve of that season.
No,
Rocco would be very down on that idea.
He would have to get them off his feet, get them off his feet.
By the way, your question to Buxton. May I just say I appreciated your efforts in trying to elicit a response from a guy who now has heavy incentive to play baseball.
Yes, yes, I tried to
when you
to
said
get
that
it.
Your boss is going to be very...
Yeah, I said, are you going to have
how uncomfortable
to get
did Falvey get at the front table as you...
I don't think Buck understood the question.
No, but I'm saying I would guess that Falvey would have gotten...
I saw Levine, he kind of...
Squirmed.
Grim, but... You know, I said, you think you're going to have to get a neutral arbitrator to decide whether you're going to... That was my mistake. I should have just said, Rocco doesn't like to play anybody more than 3 days in a row. Are you going to try to change that this year?
Right. I'm sure
somebody
his agent
gave me this inside, gave me the thing that I told you last week. Kepler had like his three best days of the season. He was in his 1-2 week hot streak that he had. He had three really good days, and he wasn't in the lineup the next day. And then somebody said, he says, you know, he's played 3 days in a row.
That's incredible.
I know.
It's baseball.
I know. I like the guy, but there's a.
But is this him?
I think it's based, well, yeah, most of it, I think.
So this isn't.
If he wants to play guys, he can play them. I think it's him being hurt so much in his career, and he played, you know, when he started off, he was playing 150 games a year,
right.
And he probably looks back and says, boy, if I'd rested more, I wouldn't have.
And he retired because of a strange
foot situation.
Illness,
he had
right?
A bad foot. He had a bad foot.
Oh, I thought he had an officially.
It had something to do with a foot.
I thought he had an officially termed.
Maybe it was. I can't remember. He had a foot that didn't work.
That chased
something.
Him out. But it is. I mean, yeah. When 3 days in a row. It's too much.
Yes, yes. I'm going to take a swig of pop.
All right.
What's with Jeremy Schapp's hair now? He's really gone cool.
I think he's losing it, and I think he's trying to comb it back to.
You know what's amazing?
Cover up as much as possible.
Minnie Mendoza getting in, and that boy did that groundswell happen in a hurry. He wasn't even hardly considered.
Really?
I mean, he played.
And Dick Allen didn't get in.
No, Dick Allen didn't get in. I suppose they figure they'll get him next time. But
well, he's dead. So.
I thought he was the one that everybody's thought was a cinch.
Yes.
So that's kind of weird. But you got this committee, and, you know, Dick had his drug problems and other stuff. But there's no doubt about the numbers. The war crowd is very upset that Dick didn't get in.
But, yeah, I saw, was it Passons? Somebody lashed out on Twitter about Dick not being
quite a few people voted in.
I saw at least one or two where somebody was upset.
But I think that their theory was that, you know, Minnie's last chance for Minnie, last chance for Tony. Cott was surprised that he made it, but I don't know. It was... and they could, you could vote for five, and I think only somebody told me only six guys got votes or something. It was like, you know, the very top. Usually the votes are spread out more than they were this time or something.
And I think Dick Allen, if I saw this right, fell only one vote short. Yeah.
He'll make 11. It next time. Yeah, he'll make it. But that's 5 years now. Tony was. It was supposed to be a 3-year thing in 2014 when he missed by him and he missed by one, Cop missed by two. And then they changed it because they had all these different committees. They made more committees and met less. So they've changed it to 5 years. And then 5 years starting in 2015. So they made it 2020. And then because of COVID, they didn't vote. So it was 7 years. And this was his last shot, you know. But I did talk to Rodney last night, and he was very happy.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a thing for this morning for put online about what a thrill it was to watch Tony as a kid, you know. But Rodney, as a roommate, you know, 11-year roommate with Tony, told me that one of his first tasks when they got back to the room every night was to go get the ice.
Oh, for the knee.
Go get the ice. And he said, I spent a lot of nights listening to him moan and groan and even cry. His knee was in so much pain, you know.
And that happened
the next day.
What season?
He had had some knee problems, but it happened in 1971.
Uh-huh.
Only before the DH, they had moved the mound down to 10 feet, but pitchers were still pretty dominant. He was hitting 375 late in June, and he was leading the league. I looked it up once, like by 51 points or something, and probably his greatest year. And he dived for a ball in right field in the Oakland Coliseum and landed on a sprinkler head and ruined the knee. He limped.
Wow.
He missed about the next month. He played about three games. Then he came back and played the rest of the season. Basically on one leg and limped to the batting title, 332 or something he ended up. That was his last batting title. But the next year, he only played 10 games. They redid the whole Docko failing. You know, there was no arthroscopy.
Right, you had to go in.
He redid the whole knee, tried to do this, do that. The next year, he couldn't play. And he was done if they didn't get the – if the DH didn't come in, he was done. But one of his most amazing years is 73, one leg. He hit 273 and knocked in 92 runs. And if he hit a double, it was not a double. He basically had to run around the bases one at a time. But 64, he breaks in. Not only did he win the batting title, he led the league in runs scored, doubles, total bases, and one other category. I mean, he led them in everything. He had 84 extra base hits that year, 32 home runs, 9 triples, and 43 doubles. And this is when 323 wins the batting title. So the pitchers, we were starting to see the beginning of the pitcher domination because 3 years later, 68 was the year of the pitcher, you know, when Gibson had the 1.12 ERA, and somewhere in there, Yaz won the batting title at 3.01,
yep.
67 maybe. So,
yep.
So I mean, he was those numbers. You look back and now, and you go, oh, yeah. But you know, for the era, you know, the way pitching was starting to take over was pretty
so
fantastic.
In 64, despite all of that success, he finished fourth in AL MVP.
In 65.
Robinson, Mantle, and Elston Howard.
Yeah, that's not a bad crew.
Nope.
65, Twins win, and Zoilo plays really good against the Yankees, and Zoilo was good, and he had big numbers, but he hit 260 or something. And he was voted the MVP because that was when the baseball writer, well, he's the, you know, the hidden thing. But Tony was the Sporting News Player of the Year, and the Sporting News was right. Tony should have been the MVP in 65, not Zoilo.
Really?
But Tony would never say that because he and Zoilo were like the tightest guys that could ever be. So
right.
But Tony
hit, I didn't realize he
Tony hit 321 and Zoilo hit 261 or 260, something like that. I don't know. Look up Zoilo 65.
Zoilo, 260. He
261?
Hit 273.
Oh, did he? Okay. I thought it was
lower. Oliva finished second to him, though, and hit 321.
That's pretty good when you have the, you know, the two top two guys. You have the top two finishers in the MVP race, and neither of them is Harmon Killebrew. Of course, Harmon got hurt that year and missed 2 months.
Yep. That's incredible.
Yeah. But anyway. I was really happy because he is, and I can say this, a lot of people say it, but he's my favorite all-time player and also my favorite all-time guy to deal with and just to BS with. And people have been sending out pictures that they had taken with him, and there's 75,000 Twins fans who have a picture taken with Tony, you know. Down in Fort Myers, that basically his job became walking around and getting stopped and having pictures take pictures with him.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. So how about I don't think Coach Fleck was treated with proper respect with his bowl game.
He got passed over by three or four of them.
Yeah, right.
Three of them at least.
Yeah, we couldn't even get
Outback passed on us because we're too recent.
We couldn't even get the Music City Bowl,
I know.
For God's sake.
We used to be their favorite.
Yes, right.
What happened?
Yes, in fact, I always said Chip was going to be entered in the Music City Hall of Fame, Media Hall of Fame, Media.
Oh, he loved going there. Yeah, going home.
Going home, yes. We couldn't even. And everybody says, well, Purdue's only 5 hours away. Yeah, but it's still Purdue, you know. So
I know, but they got passed over by the Pinstripe Bowl, Pat.
And
we've never been to the Pinstripe Bowl.
Apparently, Vegas wanted to get those beer-drinking Wisconsin people out there instead of us, huh?
That's very smart of them. Yes.
But I don't, you know, I don't think there's a hell of a lot of difference on how many people are going to show up to watch the Badgers and how many people are going to show up to watch the Gophers in Vegas. We might have sent more than, you know, they're not thrilled with this team
Madison.
Yeah, they might, but
The Gophers do travel well.
Everything is so galled. Flying is so damn expensive now, though. It's not like you're going to go out and get on the $180 weekend flight to Vegas like you used to, man. It's flying prices are incredible. But Phoenix, you know, they can call this the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, but we know it's the Insight Bowl that got Coach Mace fired. Right?
Why did it get moved to the Diamondback Stadium? Do we know?
Because I don't know. They're just trying. Maybe
which isn't even a football stadium.
No, they maybe just didn't want to have it. Maybe they can sell more suites at Sun Devil Stadium or more of this sports. I mean, maybe they can. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
But yes, it's the same bowl.
Yes, it is.
Where it caused the downfall of
poor Mace got fired for. Just because they blew a little 30-point lead or whatever it was. 35, was it? What was it? 35-7 at halftime?
Mike Leach's team, right?
But you know what actually got old Mace fired, don't you?
What's that?
There was a rah-rah gathering of alums, and Brunix, I actually got a letter from an email from Brunix, and I'll have to maybe confirm this story with him. But it's too good a story to confirm.
But, yeah, don't ruin it.
No, don't ruin it by having some guy deny it.
Yeah, but, no, that never happened.
But Mace showed up at this rah-rah thing like 2 days earlier, and they had a bunch of alum there, and he basically was bitter and ripped every, you know, talked about the need for this and the need for that, whatever he did. Irritated Brunix and Maturi, And then they were on the plane back after kicking the lead away on the private plane back coming home. And at night, and let's get rid of him. They just signed him.
I know.
Him.
I remember.
He had 3 more years to go.
That's why he looked safe.
Him. Huh?
At that time, we all thought he was safe because of that contract extension.
Yeah. And, they fired. They decided. And then they conducted their national search.
Yeah. And they should have stuck with Mason.
I wrote a column. I called up Tom Lemming, the recruiting guy, the night of this hiring when the news popped. And Lemming said, this guy's great. He's one of the top two recruits and recruiters in the country. The other was the African-American fella who ended up getting popped for illegal. I can't remember. He was somewhere in the South. He became a head coach at Oklahoma or Oklahoma State.
You mean Charlie Strong?
No.
Because he was a guy they considered.
He became a head coach someplace.
At one point.
He didn't last long.
Uh-huh.
But he was a great recruiter, apparently for the same reason Brewster was. That, you come here and you'll be able to go get a hamburger if you want to, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I wrote a column saying, hey, Tom Lemming says this guy can recruit, blah, blah, blah. And it was okay. I wrote, give him a chance. Then I went to this press conference at the McNamara Alumni Center, and I said, I ain't giving this Raven idiot a chance. And I ripped the hell out of him for the next day. I didn't give him as long as I gave PJ, boy, were they were on me hard when he was 7-1 his second year, man. All these Gopher fans now that knew he was a phony,
yep,
that knew all along he was a failure,
yep,
they were all on the bandwagon. His second year, he was 7-1.
The same thing is what I keep telling Mackey about the Kirk fans. I said, just wait till he's gone. Because all of these people that love Kirk right now will say, we never thought he was that good.
No, we won't.
Because that's what they do.
They have the advantage of changing their minds, too. And because who's going to go back through Gopher Hole
right
8 years and see, who was supporting Tim Brewster, right? The people who were sending all the stuff in it about how great Brewster was. And we got to get him signed to an extension and blah, blah, blah. But we used to be able to do the same thing, mm-hmm, before this damn internet came, yeah, along.
There's a lot of stuff on that internet.
Yes, including what you've written in the past. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to go find it.
It's not that hard.
No, not now. Back in the day, a guy had to go to the public library to call you a liar.
And put that damn microfiche in the thing.
Yes, right.
Squint and what day.
You could deny everything back then.
Yep.
But
that took some work.
Somebody told me this and they were right. They said, newspaper, do we know if she's hurt or not?
That didn't look good, though. Non-contact for Paige Bueker.
Beckers. But I used to say they're like waves on the ocean. They go up, they go out. Nobody, you can change your mind
later.
You can change your mind a week
later. Not anymore. Hey, how's Kill? You talked to Jerry Kill.
He was, he's pretty good, but I thought he was very candid in the interview. He said, I'm not the same guy I was in Minnesota. I haven't been the same since I left Minnesota, meaning, he just hasn't. He's been a nomad. He was always on the ascent, and then he's kind of been this wandering guy. And how come Mexico State? Because they're the only place that hire me. Nobody else wanted me.
But does he really want to do this again?
Well, the guy talked him into it.
I feel for him. But
Muccio had been his AD when he coached at Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
And he tried to hire him. And
I guess if the pressure's low, I don't know.
I told you, contacted Tracy and said, are you going to look at Las Cruces? And he said, no, that's too deep of a hole for me. He said, but I wish him the best of luck.
Mm.
So he's hired he's got some guy named Tim Beck who was with him at Pittsburgh State 30 years ago and has been all around D2 and been all around. He hired him as an assistant head coach and trusts him a lot. And that guy's helping him put the staff together. But it's a hopeless job. I mean, you're they're this guy who just got fired was, I think he won 20 games in 10 years or something. You know, Doug Martin.
Yeah.
He was here. But one of them was beating Jerry.
He beat Jerry the here. First home game here.
But
Jerry coach.
Yeah, and Jerry had the seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And it is funny how, I mean, Gopher fans are incredible. They're mad because I wrote a column about Jerry Kill. Even though there was no shots taken at the current guy in there, I asked him about it. He said, I don't want to get into that. I got big enough problems here. So there was no shots, but they don't think, they apparently don't think the guy that was your coach for 5 years and had been given an extension worth $8 million and walked away from it, they apparently don't think that's a story, that somebody should talk to him from our paper and get some quotes from him. Because we had the wires, you know, the stuff that he said at his press conference.
Yeah. Yes.
But, you know, I don't know. I thought getting him on the phone and getting him candid for a half hour was pretty damn good, you know. But they're, you guys are obsessed with Jerry Kill. No, we're not. It's a story, non-journalists, yeah. you non-journalists.
Happy holidays.
Yes, but I think, I would guess it's not long-term. He says, well, we had to go into a conference. We're going to Conference USA, which is basically blowing up. Florida Inter, and they got teams all over the country, you know, in mm-hmm. that. And most of the Texas schools left and went someplace else. Some of them in the Big 12 and some of them.
I just thought after he left here with everything health-wise that an administrative job was perfect for him.
He hated it. He told me he hated it. Did you see that quote from
him? Yeah. No, I did. But, I mean, still.
He's addicted.
Yeah,
he's
addicted
to be a coach. Whew. And, you know, the good thing about him is it's a bad job. They're going to lose a lot. But he's not going to. He was very vulnerable to criticism. You know, he was sensitive guy.
Yeah.
This guy's sensitive in a different way. Mm-hmm. This guy's sensitive in a different way. Jerry was out front with his sensitivity. And there won't be any of that down there. You know, I mean, you think the Las Cruces newspaper is going to get on him? I don't even know if they have one.
Jerry got upset about a question asked by Chris Long from downstairs. Yes. He's the nicest guy and asked a very innocuous question. Mm-hmm. Well, and he said, I guess I can't coach or something.
I heard, that was the one, I guess. That was after they damn near didn't beat Kent State.
Yeah.
That was it. But Jerry is a fantastic user of the F-bomb in a casual conversation. Burnsy-like.
You share Burnsy that with those guys.
Huh?
I mean, you're pretty good at it yourself.
I'm very good.
You weave it
Burnsy
in
is,
like Vin Scully.
Burnsy, Jerry can really... When you're just talking to him at 8:30 in the morning for a half hour, he's an F-bomb machine, but not. It's just part of the conversation. It's
sure,
just,
yeah, I gotcha.
It's just the adverb. It's not. Yeah. It's not this bleeping guy and that bleeping.
It's transitional.
Guy. Yeah, it is. It is like Ted Williams was like, I'm the best. He'd use it in the middle of words, you know,
mm-hmm.
but. I said that to Chip. I said, boy, I'd forgotten what a master of the F-bomb he is. And he says, I got that one day. I wrote something, and I was the MF-er of all time that he, because Chip was the beat guy briefly there, right? Or no, maybe he was a columnist.
He was a columnist.
Some column he wrote, and he ran into him, and Jerry really let him have it.
Really? Well, you're right. He's not going to take that criticism there.
No, that's...
And it's not like we're particularly harsh, by the way.
I had a fine time at the volleyball match Saturday night. Very rousing victory over Stanford. Stephanie Samedy's last ever home game. She'll be an instant Hall of Famer with the Gophers, and she'll be a four-time first-team All-American because she got the extra COVID year. And she'll two-time Big Ten Player of the Year in 1 year, twice, because last spring and then this time.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
But there's a couple other kids over there, really. They got this Jenna Wenis, who's...
He must be a great coach.
Really true. Oh, he is. And he's the coolest guy in the world, too, man. He doesn't... You know, I said this earlier. You know what he has going for him? He knows he's good.
Mm-hmm. He knows. Nothing wrong with that. Some,
you know, the rest of us hope we're good.
Yep.
Try to convince ourselves we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes aren't so sure.
Yep.
He's always sure. Well, he knows what he's doing.
That's great.
Yeah, it is.
I love
it's
that.
It's a great advantage. It's a great advantage.
Well, and plus,
not many people have that advantage.
No, and you don't come off as an a-hole then. You come off as appearing to know exactly what you're doing.
Yes.
Which I appreciate.
The rival coach is Kevin Hambley. He won the national championship 2 in a row with Stanford. Tall, just like he's a, and Ian McCutcheon, both a lot of international experience, and he was the best man at McCutcheon's wedding. So they're really close. But Hambley was like running on the court on the fourth point of the match to demand a review and never sat down basically the whole time. And I didn't see McCutcheon get off his chair except during timeouts that were all called by Hambley. Hambley, you get 2 a match, 2 a set. Hambley called all 6 of his. McCutcheon never called one.
Really?
He just sat. And the thing about him is, if he stands up, the players go, uh-oh, what'd I do? Because if it stands up, it's to make a point. Not just,
Not Tibbs like is what you're saying.
I really like him. He's not that, I think, early 50s.
Really?
You know, I think he's, I'll have to look again, but New Zealander of all things, you know, which is.
That makes him more cool.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And really sure of himself. And by far, Joel Maturi's best hire in his 10 years here.
Mm-hmm.
Hired him, and I looked it up. They'd hired him in February 2011, not knowing when he would start because he was coaching the Olympic team in 2012 and the women's team in Brazil. So, in 2012. So, yeah. They they'll be underdogs against Baylor, and if they win, they'll be big underdogs against Wisconsin. But they're always good over there, and they fill them with a pavilion, and they. You know, they probably lose much less money than most of the other women's teams over there.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
And how about 7-0 for Ben?
Yeah, yeah.
Yesterday,
do you
want
to apologize for your rant about the fact that his core players are playing too much? The minutes police are going to have to just
yes,
step away and accept the fact.
Well, now one of their guys, Sutherland,
the first guy off the bench,
he's hurt.
Yes.
What are they going to do?
I think they played every starter. Well, they played somebody 40 minutes, and they played the rest of them like 38.
Poor Eric Curry.
Oh, Eric Curry's Curry incredible.
Eric Curry says, all right, I'll come back, but don't work me too hard.
Eric Curry is like the film Cocoon,
yes,
where the old people find the fountain of youth.
Yes.
Eric Curry has now found a fountain of youth that didn't exist.
Well, it's I turned it on yesterday to see how bad they were getting beat. They were ahead 16-2.
I know.
16-4.
And that was a good team, right?
Like.
That was a pretty good team.
They'd only lost one. Ben Holland, the old UCLA guy, is the coach there. And their tournament team and stuff like
They got
like
Michigan
that.
State on Wednesday.
And not a great Michigan State yep. team, but they will defend.
These guys look like they're plucky, though, Pat. I give them credit.
Yeah.
Patriots. I thought they'd be awful.
Oh, I did, too. They've had a couple awful games when they were playing the right team, but what the hell? It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Better than they might have some people there to you know they if they were as bad as everybody thought they were going to be, they would have about 5,000.
I need to see you at the X. We got that. We're on fire, baby.
I had committed to being at the X for the Edmonton game until I found out it was in Edmonton.
Okay, we need to work with you on your wild scheduling now.
Yes,
now that this team is red hot.
I looked and I said, okay, I got to get over there. And yep. I was going to go Tuesday. And then I said, well, I better look at that once
more. It's going to be a long drive.
It's at Edmonton.
Yeah, it'll be a long drive.
They're unbelievable.
Toronto on Saturday is one of the best regular season games I've seen there in ages.
We gave up. This team is so good.
It doesn't matter.
They can urinate away a 3-0 lead yep. and still win.
You want them to rally, they'll rally.
And the Russian that we were so concerned about, you know, I heard Dan Cole talk, and I thought he was fatter than me. Listen to the Cole talk about Kaprizov. But he was too fat, right, when he wasn't scoring any goals. Now he's...
Oh, he's on fire.
Yeah, he's just, he's just great. It's
Fiala has 3 goals, and they're still one of the best teams in the league.
Unbelievable. Well, they're running away. They're running away with the rugged, whatever the hell
Central
division
is. You need to get over there because you're Mr. Puck.
I was going to go Tuesday until I found out that it's in Edmonton and I'm just not flying up there for the games.
So. Next home game is when, Declan?
They're gone for a week, right?
They got 4 games.
Yep, they're back next week, right?
Yeah, I have to go. I do have to. I was going to. I had the best intentions until I found out they were not here. That was the end of the homestand.
The next step is to find out the home and away schedule so we can actually prepare for the
game. Yes, that's true. That's true.
All right.
All right. We'll talk to you. It was a very entertaining day in Minnesota sports yesterday. The Vikings figured out how to lose to the Lions, and Tony and Cott getting in the Hall of Fame. Fantastic Sunday. A Sunday to be remembered for 2 reasons.
Yes, it is.
If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.